Hello, Miracle Life family. We are missing being together in the flesh, but we are so happy that we can connect online with you today. Some of you have signed up for connection groups because you've been watching what's been happening with connection groups, how they're still getting together with social media. And for those of you who still want to join a connection group, we ask you to either put a little note right now on YouTube or Facebook from wherever you're watching, or you can email us at Miracle Life. And again, we just want to encourage you that we can still connect without being here together under a building. We can still do it online.
Amen. Thank you also so much for your giving. At Miracle Life, every month we support 23 different ministries, ministries that happen outside of our walls. And those ministries are still taking place. And so it's home missions, foreign missions. It's over 100,000 kwacha that we give from our budget. And so thank you for your giving. We are continuing to do that. We will continue to do that. And so thank you for your faithfulness.
Due to health concerns, Miracle Life Family Church, our campus is going to be closed as of the 6th of April. All of our staff are going home. Work will continue as they're all taking things home with them so that we can continue the work. And so if there are any concerns or needs, you are welcome to still get in touch with us, and we will be here for you. But thank you so much for your giving that will allow us to continue paying our staff as they are working from home.
Yep. So Miracle Life is not closed. Our campus is closed for health reasons, and we want to keep our staff safe as well as you safe. Also, please make sure that you are keeping abreast of the Ministry of Health updates. Those are happening daily, and they're things, incredibly helpful information for our health and also for the health of others. And one of the best tips that we heard during this COVID season, you could say, is that consider that you might be carrying it. And this is not a faith statement, but if you consider that you might be carrying it, then you're going to keep your distances. You're not going to interact with people. You're going to be very, very careful. All right, so just do that, and we're going to get through this.
Yeah, we will absolutely get through this. I think when we see ourselves as having it, we love others enough to not want to infect them, so we stay away. So we love you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Thank you so much. So turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And so this week that we are going into, some refer to it as Holy Week, meaning that this is the week that in history, this is when Jesus went to Jerusalem. This is when Jesus was going there to die. And so it is an important week in our church history, and so it's going to be a time that we focus and what we look at in our sermon today. So we're going to think about this as like a Good Friday. I'm sorry that we can't be together on Good Friday. We typically do get together either for our Easter musical or we have a Good Friday service. So this is going to be kind of that time to reflect on what Jesus did for us. All right, so Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 5. And this is just a magnificent portion of Scripture. Some would tell us that this was actually sung in the early church, and it was actually a song. If it's okay with you, I'm not going to sing it, but we'll read it and we'll study it today. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we're going to look at that first half of that text this week as we reflect on the death, on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. So his death was also, sadly, his humiliation. He didn't just stop living in a physical body, but the death he died was horrible. And that's why in this text it says that he humbled himself to die, but even the death of a cross. Now, you and I live in 2020, no one dies on a cross. But in that day and age, the cross was the most horrific way to die. It was humiliating. People were stripped naked. They were put on this cross, and they died over days. And it wasn't on a hill far away. It was on Chachacha Road. It was on Great East Road. It was where everyone could see that Rome had won. And this person was now dying. And it let you know who was in charge. And the Roman oppressors were in charge. And so this portion says that Jesus was on a mission. That even though he was God, that he emptied himself. Another translation. We'll look at it from. But he something happened for him to be born into a human body. And he traveled and he came to the earth. He lived among us. He walked among us. All right. And so while he was on the earth, he did some amazing things. He displayed the character of God. He preached. He raised up disciples. Jesus was so good at his leadership that we're here today. And churches all over the world, some who are not meeting physically, but the church of Jesus is alive and strong because Jesus poured himself into these 12 men. But that wasn't just the reason he came. He didn't just come to teach. He didn't just come to be a great leader. Jesus came to die. And so he came to sacrifice. Let me read that portion to you from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 6. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. That's a wonderful way to translate what that means, to empty himself. All right, so he didn't ever stop being God, but some of those privileges of being God, he laid them aside for his earthly ministry, the time that he was in a human body. He took the humble portion of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. A criminal's death. In Zambia today, there is the death penalty, and probably most of us know that that doesn't happen very often, if at any. So someone might be sentenced to death, but they will perhaps live in prison for the rest of their life. So we don't really have today a, quote, criminal's death. Well, they certainly did in the day of Jesus. And he died the death that criminals would die. All right. So Jesus traveled to the earth for a purpose. You and I, some of us, have done just the same. Maybe we've traveled to another town or another city or to the village, and there was a family reason or a family purpose. Sometimes when we travel, it's sacrificial. Maybe we don't live in the same type of dwelling that we do when we travel, or we maybe eat different kinds of food. So there might be a sacrifice. And so certainly Jesus, that was sacrificial, certainly for him to come and to live and to live in this human body. But that was not the sacrifice. The sacrifice was at Calvary. The sacrifice was when he allowed himself to be the scapegoat, the Passover lamb, the one who would take the sins of the world upon himself. And so he came to die, and to die this very distinctive death. So in doing so, both in his life and the life that he lived and what he did at the cross, he submitted himself to the Father's will. It's very, very clear in the Bible. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are equal in essence. That means they're the same stuff. All right. They have different functions. But during his earthly time, Jesus listened to his Father's will. We see this very, very distinctly in the Garden of Gethsemane, that when he was there and he asked, Father, may this cup be removed? And the answer was no. He submitted. And even though it was very difficult and very painful, he went through it for us. And so every step of the life of Jesus, from his childhood and his youth, and then when he was baptized by John, Remember, John foretold what he was going to be doing. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. What does that mean? Well, if you were a Jewish person in that time, you would know the Lamb doesn't just come to be in your farm. A lamb is to die. And so John was even foretelling the ministry that Jesus would have to be our sacrifice and to be the one who would bear our sins. And so during the life of Jesus, there were instances where Jesus knew, and he would say this, it's not yet my time. And there, he knew that there was an appointed time and there was work to be done before that time. There was a time where Jesus realized that in Judea they wanted to kill him. And the Bible is real simple. It says, and so Jesus didn't go there anymore because they sought to kill him. Meaning that Jesus sidestepped danger at times. Jesus sidestepped other moments where he could have died or people wanted to kill him. But now, during this week, what we call the Holy Week, the Passion of Jesus, he went to Jerusalem to die. He went to Jerusalem knowing. So much so that he told his disciples repeatedly, for the time is coming. It's close at hand. The Son of Man will die and he will be like Jonah in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But he will be raised again. We can tell the disciples didn't believe that by their scattering and their disappointment. But Jesus was going on purpose to die. And he was going to die for us. You know, there are times in human history where, and sometimes there are statues, and I've seen memorials of these things. I remember from my childhood where maybe there was a battle, and it was a battle in a war, and it was a war that, in a sense, when it was done, perhaps the world got better because of the cause that was won. Not all wars are that way. But there would be a monument and there would be thanking the names of these who were fallen. And so they died the death of a hero and they were memorialized and their families received accommodation and medals and they were praised. Not so Jesus. When he died between two thieves. He died a horrible, horrible death. And so he was humbled in his life. And he was literally humiliated in his death. All right. So he did this on purpose. Even the days that led up to his death were humiliating. He was sold out by the kiss of a friend, by Judas. And it was so horrible what Judas did that now in our vernacular, in our day and age, Judas is a noun. There we call people, there's that Judas. The one who seems like a friend, but is not, who actually wants to destroy you. So this happened to Jesus, and he allowed it happened. It was willingly, all right? His closest friend denied him, publicly cursed him. Peter, you know the story. His trial, when you look, both his Jewish trial and his Roman trial were a mockery of justice. It was ridiculous. I have had a fascination since I was a youth to watch TV shows or movies that are about justice. And the ones that seem especially fascinating are those where justice is perverted. And this is a sad part of our human history where someone who is innocent is found guilty and then punished. Or the opposite, where someone who is guilty is acquitted and then let off the hook. And these kinds of stories are interesting and I just kind of enjoy them. And sadly, this was one of those that the innocent person was found guilty. The innocent person took the place of Barabbas. Barabbas went free. He should have died. And so while we look at it and we think, what a horrible injustice, and it was in a human term, what we realized was that this was all part of the plan of God. It was the plan of the Father for Jesus to die. And even that imagery of the innocent taking the place of the guilty What we see in the New Testament is that is exactly what Jesus did in 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And that's what happened this week, friends, is that Jesus took our place. And so while it was a travesty of justice, if this would ever be looked at, Jesus was not guilty of the crimes that they said he was. He did it on purpose. And so he traded places with a criminal. He was whipped. He was tortured. He was stripped. He was nailed to a cross. A crown of thorns was placed upon his brow, and they beat. And these were thorns that most likely pierced his skin and perhaps even his skull. All right, it was a horrible, horrible thing. Jesus said this in the garden. He said, "Father, let this cup pass." Meaning that there was a cup that he would drink. And the great preacher Charles Spurgeon preached about this cup. And I'd like to just quote this sermon. I don't think I could ever be this eloquent, but what a wonderful way to describe. And these are the words of Charles Spurgeon about this cup that Jesus drank. "There was the cup. Hell was in it. The Savior drank it, not a sip, and then a pause, not a draught, and then a ceasing. But he drained it till there was not a dreg left for any of his people. The great 10-thronged whip of the law was worn out upon his back. There was no lash left for which to smite the one for whom Jesus died. The great bombardment of God's justice has been exhausted in all of its ammunition. There is nothing left to be hurled against a child of God." Meaning that what Jesus took should have been our portion. The cup that he drank, friends, was our cup. Hebrews says it this way: he tasted death for every man. And so what he tasted, we might never taste. What he suffered in our place, we need not suffer, because as Spurgeon so eloquently put it, there's nothing left to be hurled against the child of God, for it was hurled upon Jesus at Calvary. So this separation, this judgment because of sin, and also the shame because of our sin. You know, I think all of us probably have faced that there are consequences to sin, and there are things that get broken, but then there's the lingering shame. The shame sometimes that other people ascribe to us, but sometimes the shame of our own heart, that we realize that we did it, and there's this reminder, and it's the shame of the accuser of the brethren, the enemy of our soul, that he brings back to us. All right? Now, Isaiah chapter 53 talks about this sin, but it also talks about another substitutionary work that Jesus did at the cross. All right? And it was that while Jesus was bearing our sickness, I mean our sin and our shame, he also bore our sickness and disease. Let me read Isaiah 53 to you, verses 4 to 6. This is from the Young's Literal Translation. And so the Hebrew Bible brings out very special words about what Jesus bore. All right? Verse 4. "Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he has carried them away." And that's the imagery of what the scapegoat did, that what was put on the scapegoat got carried away. And so our sicknesses he hath borne. So what does that mean? It means that if he bore them, we need not bear them. Now, there are the sufferings of Christ that we follow in his footsteps, like rejection and humiliation and being misunderstood, and in some countries, even being martyred because of our faith, we may have to die. But we see here that if Jesus tasted, if it was in the cup, that what he tasted, friend, we need not ever taste. Let me keep reading. We have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. All of us like sheep have wandered, each to his own way we have turned, and Jehovah has caused to meet on him the punishment of us all. So again, what he bore is not our cup. What he carried, we need never carry, child of God. So our sickness he hath borne. And so right now, as we're talking, as we're thinking about these scriptures, the world every day is talking about sickness because it's there. It is a part of this fallen world because of Adam's sin and what he brought into it. But here's the thing. Jesus bore it for us. He bore it for us. And so, child of God, whatever you may be facing in your body, healing belongs to you because Jesus paid for it. It's really not because of anything, any merit that you have done, but it is part of the gracious gift of God to you to be received by faith. And so we see this text in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes, by his wounds, what happens to us? We are healed. And so healing is a part of the ministry of Jesus. It was part of the early church, and it is throughout the epistles. So when Jesus was speaking to a paralytic man, you remember the man that came from the roof? And he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And oh, people got upset that he was forgiving sins. And he said, "Only God can forgive sins." And the J.B. Phillips translation puts it this way, that Jesus responded, and he said, "To show you that I am authorized to forgive and to heal, either or both." Either or both. He's authorized to do both. Why? Because his blood covers that for us. So his bruising means healing to us. Healing. Thank God for the healing of our body, the healing of our mind, the healing of our soul. I like the way somebody put it. Anywhere that you hurt. Anywhere that you hurt, there is healing for you. So, Jesus became this curse. The punishment that was due to us was upon him. And so the law and the Torah would always declare and tell you, you're not good enough. You have failed. And it was a true sentence. But because what Jesus did, now, folks, that doesn't have to be our portion. It's not that we're not good enough. It's that he was good enough. He was good enough for us. And so not only the consequences and the punishment, but friend, also the shame. I don't know if you have ever felt shamed or you've been in a group of people where you kind of know what they're saying or the eyebrows are raised or it gets back to you what people are saying. Because of what Jesus did, God will never shame you. He'll never shame you. He'll never raise his eyebrow. Now, I am so glad that in the Bible it does say that whom the Father loves, he corrects. And surely there are times where through his word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that God will say, "Hey, Walker, we need to have a chat. And what you did and what you said, and we need to have it. That is not okay." And I'm so thankful that he corrects me. He does not shame me. Aren't you glad? Now, let's look at another scripture as we get ready to close today. Psalm 25, because there is an application. So because of what Jesus did, because of his humiliation and what he did at the cross, it means something to us today. Psalm 25 and verse 6, and I'll read a portion of this psalm. "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And this is one of the Psalms of David. So parts of this is, it's a prayer. God, remove my guilt, pardon my guilt. And so he was appealing to the covenant love of God that he had proclaimed about himself throughout the word. And so David was making a good prayer. But here's the thing, folks, for us today in 2020, now that Jesus has died and now that he's raised from the dead, David's prayer is our reality. David's prayer is part of the accomplishment of what Jesus did at the cross for us. Jesus cleanses every spot. He removes the shame of guilt. He doesn't look at us funny. The Bible says that he's not ashamed to call us his brothers, his family. I don't know if you've ever been in a family situation, and I have, and it's very uncomfortable, where someone even in your own family is ashamed of you. And maybe that hurts the most. And perhaps you felt it. Maybe you're even feeling it that way. But guess what? Jesus, your elder brother, God, your father, is not ashamed to call you child of God. And he welcomes you and he brings you in. All right. So we're going to take some time because we want to apply this in our life during this week. And this is a wonderful time from this Sunday as we head to Easter in a week from now, for us to be thinking and for us to be meditating. So I hope you wrote some of these scriptures down. If whatever platform you're on, you can probably go back and scroll back and get some of these scripture references. Think about them. Consider them. But also what we're going to do is we're going to ask our worship team to come right now. They're going to sing a song. And what I'd ask you to do is don't just listen. Don't listen. I know we are probably used to online stuff where we just kind of sit and watch and, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Please sing along. They're going to have the lyrics. Make this a worship. Make this a prayer to God. And so they're going to come. We're going to sing this song together. This Psalm 25, this prayer of David, is a living reality for you and I because of what Jesus did at the cross. What David was praying for pardon, reflecting on God's nature, it's available to us. It's already been paid for. And so you and I can come and receive cleansing from every spot. We can receive restoration from every act of shame, knowing that what Jesus did, he bore on our behalf so that we could be free, so that we can be the redeemed. Now the worship team is going to come now and we're going to sing a song. And where you are right now as you're participating with this service, again, we want to challenge you. Don't watch this like you're streaming a video or something like that. But let God talk to you and experience the presence and the power of God. And this is a song, again, I'd ask you not just to listen to the lyrics, but to sing along and make this a prayerful moment with you and God, because these lyrics come just really straight from Scripture about what Jesus did, and that it came from this covenant love of a God who wants to redeem us. So let's join our worship team now as we sing.
Behold the man.
And he received those stripes and he received those beatings until it was accomplished, until the price to set you free was finished. And that's why he said, it is finished. There was no more payment to be made. And friend, what that means is you cannot add to the work of Jesus. All you can do is receive a pure gift of what he did for you. So many frustrated religions all around the world are trying to earn something that God in his wisdom has already given, and that is freedom. It is forgiveness. It is every debt paid, all your shame removed. So what do? We believe that. Repent and believe the gospel. And what you've heard today and what you heard in these words as we worshiped God is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And I want to challenge you today is if you're watching this, if you're participating in this service, friend, I went to a church all my life. I got dressed up and I would go to these special services and I could memorize the liturgy, but I was lost. And if I would have died, I would have gone straight to hell because my sins were not yet removed. They were not washed. And see, what Jesus did, he did for you. But we receive that gift by faith. Individual trust in a Savior's love. If you're watching today and you say, you know, Pastor Walker, I'm not in the family of God. A great, great way to check is, what would happen if you die tonight? What would you say to God? Why should a holy God let you into his heaven? And if you say, well, because I've been kind of good or I've given some money, none of those reasons are good enough, friend. It's not what the Bible says. But if you say, I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, it's because my name is written in the book of life. Heaven can be your home right now. Eternal life can begin today. Maybe you're far away from God. Maybe you are not really sure about your salvation or a no-so experience. Come home. Come home from a place of rebellion, a place of sin. Let's pray. Let's talk to God today. Where I'd ask you to do is, wherever you're watching this, you might be watching on your cell phone or your home, but right now I want you to bow your heart. If you can, go ahead and get on your knees. Reach out your heart and your hands to God right now. I want you to say this prayer with me. Ready? Just say it out loud. Say, God. Go ahead, say it out loud. Say, God, I trust you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. It was accomplished. All of my sin was paid for. The punishment that brought me peace was on Jesus, and I receive your free gift by faith today. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I bow my knee to your Lordship. I turn my back on sin and the world. Jesus, I follow you with my whole heart and for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Friend, you are a brand new person. The old is past. Everything has become new. That's not just me telling you. That's what God says. It's what he says in his word. So we want to help you. We want to rejoice with you. And so with whatever platform you're watching on right now, just type, I just received Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Or say, I need prayer. And somebody's going to connect with you. We want to help you take some great steps with Jesus. If you're not from Lusaka, we're going to help you get into a great, great Bible-based church. We're going to help you to walk with Jesus the rest of your life. Now, if you're a part of Miracle Life or this, you consider this your church home, if you have a need in your life, maybe there's something you're facing and it's been a tough week, it's been a tough day, something's going on in your family, please, please don't face those things alone. I know when Miracle Life, when we meet here on a Sunday morning, we can talk and pray together, but our heart has not stopped for you and we still care for you. And so just go ahead, type, I need prayer, and somebody's going to reach out to you, or this is the situation. We're going to connect with you today and make sure by the time you go to sleep tonight, somebody's going to be in touch, and we're going to pray and look to God for a great, great miracle in your life. Amen. So as we close this service, let's just meditate on these wonderful words, this worship that we've heard just now, and we'll see you next week. It's going to be a great, great, glorious Easter service on Sunday morning. We love you so much.